You're listening to STP Radio. Hey, everyone, and welcome to STP Radio. This is Mark Tomlinson, your host, and welcome to another episode of STP Radio, where we interview famous or infamous testers from around the world. My guest today on the show is Raj Subramanian. Raj, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mark.
Raj works as an IT system test engineer for most testers that we know in the industry that build tools and do functional testing, all kinds of different testing. You are the jack of all trades and the master of none, right?
Right.
I think it's so common. We testers don't just get to be testers anymore. We're too smart, so they have us doing everyone else's jobs. I think that's how we got there.
Try to do my best.
Very cool. So, Raj, I actually met you for the first time, I think, just at the recent STPCon in New Orleans.
Right.
And it was really great to chat with you. And you do have some sessions you're actually coming up here in the STPCon of Denver. We'll talk about that before the show is over. But most importantly, I wanted to maybe have you share a little bit with the STP community about what it was like in your experience starting to get into doing mobile testing. Like, where did you start and what was the first project? What were the challenges? And how did you get going in the conversion to being more mobile testing?
To be frank with you, I was looking to different projects I can get into once my project was getting over at work. And once I finished a project related to databases, I wanted to move into something which was fun and an uncharted territory.
Yes.
So I heard about some work going on in mobile in my company. And I said, you know what? People have been talking about mobile and there are all these mobile apps coming in, and I didn't know anything about mobile. So I thought, okay, this is the right time to get into a mobile project. And thus, I started with mobile testing. And the first project I did in mobile was the mobile web project.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of learning, a lot of new things. A lot of different challenges, which I saw for the first time, which I didn't have previously in other past projects. So yeah, That's how I actually started.
So this was a mobile, like just a mobile, we have hybrid apps and then there's like mobile web. So it was on a smartphone or tablet, and it was a browser-based mobile browser, that kind of app?
Oh, right. That's a good clarification. We have two ecosystems. Right, we have native apps and we have web apps, and in the middle we have hybrid apps. So in my company, we do all three.
Mm-hmm.
And I started with the mobile web app. So basically, if you go to ESPN.com on your mobile web browser,
yep,
So whatever you see pretty much is a mobile website which is made compatible to your mobile phone or tablet. So pretty much I worked on the mobile website of my company.
Yeah. Now, what were the first things you found to be different? If you approach that mobile web app with the normal functional testing skills that you've had, what are the first puzzles you had to dig? What was different that really made you go, darn, this is different?
It's funny you ask, because the first time I started off in the mobile project, I was looking into different ways of doing things and what mobile devices to use. And when I started digging deeper into what needs to be done and how to test a mobile web,
mm-hmm,
I figured that mobile is a really vast domain and there are so many testing challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So for the sake of simplicity, let me categorize it into four parts.
That's very simple. Four parts.
Yep, four parts. Because on a high level, this is what usually people come across in terms of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And different people have different ways of working through the challenges. But let me first describe the four challenges which I faced and then explain further.
Great.
So first one was challenges due to device, form factors, and screen sizes. There's so many devices out there. You have phones, tablets, desktops. Every month you're getting new phones from different manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
And that being the case, what device are you going to test with, right? Right now, if you see in the Android ecosystem, you have so many different manufacturers, HTC, Motorola, and you have Samsung, and then we have the Apple phones, of course, with so many different fragmentations in phones. I was confused on which phone or which devices to select. So that was my first challenge.
Yeah. Now, let me make a comment here.
Yeah.
Contrasting that to like normal browser-based testing, if you think of testing on a desktop or laptop, and right. you choose, let's say you have three or four browsers and maybe mm-hmm. three or four versions of each browser.
Mm-hmm.
If you test an application, a web-based application, a browser-based application, let's say your matrix is sort of 16 different combinations.
Right.
The app itself, even though you change the size of the browser, the app pretty much is the same across all of those desktop browsers. It's not the same in the mobile world. Like each mobile browser is pared down. They have different functionality. Stuff doesn't work. It's much more different as you go from device to device then, right?
Right, right. Since you just brought a mobile browser, so that was another challenge.
Okay.
The second challenge. So there's so many different mobile browsers. You have the Android browser, default browser, which comes as part of your phones. Yep. You have Safari for Apple. You have Opera. You have Firefox. You have Dolphin. You have so many different browsers. And the thing is, behind the browsers, there's the software component called the rendering engines, basically, which interprets all the elements to the user. So, for example, if you go to, say, NBA.com, so all the images, text, and links, everything is actually interpreted and displayed to the user by this software component called the rendering engine.
Yeah.
So currently we have different rendering engines, like you have Microsoft's Trident rendering engine, IE Trident rendering engine, then you have Safari's WebKit, then you have Chrome's Blink rendering engine. So yeah. That was another challenge because there are so many different rendering engines and which one you want to test with. Right. So that was my second challenge.
Now, did you understand everything about rendering engines and stuff behind browsers before you got into mobile?
No, I had no idea. To be frank with you, I didn't know what a rendering engine was.
Sure.
Even before I joined the project. Once I started in my project, I started researching about different things to get me up to speed with mobile testing.
Grand.
And when doing that, I consulted with different people who are already doing mobile testing inside the company, and also started networking with people outside the company through my conferences and various networks I have
right.
to see how do people actually do mobile web testing, right? So that's how my journey started. And then I started finding out about rendering engines. I started gathering information about usage statistics. Then I started figuring out the challenges a person faces or a team faces when actually testing the mobile web. That's why I mentioned devices, different form factors, screen sizes.
Yep.
That's one challenge. Second one was different mobile browsers. And one more thing which I want to mention was the operating system. We have the Apple's iOS operating system, the Android, the BlackBerry, the Firefox operating system. Then we have Ubuntu, which is also coming up.
And don't forget now, Amazon is getting into the smartphone world.
Exactly.
So there's a newcomer.
The Fire OS 3.0, I guess. So that's the current version, right?
Yep.
So many different operating systems are coming up. So I had situations where the same website, so the same mobile website of my company, rendered differently on an iOS device than on an Android device. Fascinating, right? Let me tell you this. It was the same code base, same JavaScript, CSS, HTML, same code base, but behaves differently on your Apple device and behaves differently on an Android device. So, for example, we had a web page where we had a submit button, which was on the which was supposed to be on the left side of the screen, and on the Android phone it was moved to the right for some reason. And on the Apple device, it was as expected on the left side. I started to figure out fascinating things like this because how an operating system version changes stuff, even though it's the same code base. So that was another challenge. Like, what operating system do I choose?
Mm-hmm.
That was the third challenge. And
did you gain a new appreciation for what a developer faces when they even think about writing code across all these? This, you're describing a huge matrix for devices and browsers and operating. I mean, this is almost an incredibly daunting task to a developer. Did you gain some new appreciation for the complexity that they face?
Yeah, I usually have great regard for what developers do, because that's also not an easy job. And the code stuff and make sure it works correctly, because I was a developer and then came into testing. So I kind of was both sides of the coin. So I understand where they're coming from.
Right. You got a promotion, right? From developer into test.
A good promotion, I would say.
A good promotion. See, yeah, exactly. Your career is going somewhere, Raj. I'm telling you, man.
This is the thing, right? In the sense, so in general, I had appreciation for what developers do. But when I came to mobile, I found it really fascinating in terms of so many different challenges. And when developers code something, they have to think about how the web page will look in a tablet, on a smartphone, on a desktop. Mm-hmm. So they code accordingly. But the funny and fascinating thing about mobile is there's always going to be some form factor or screen size you missed. So the web page is going to appear different, right? To the customer satisfaction. It all boils down to what screen resolutions are maximum used by our customers, and then try to cater to their needs first rather than thinking about all other different screen sizes.
Yeah.
So for example, when we did our website, when the developers coded our mobile website, we looked into usage statistics via Google Analytics and other in-house tools we have. And we saw how many people access our website from different devices. And based on the research I did, we got a general idea about what devices we have to cater to.
Yeah.
And
so where did you go in that research? Did you talk to production folks? Did you study industry or logs from production? How did you find that information?
So it's a two-pronged approach. So if you go to Google's website and Apple's website, they tell you what operating system versions are most widely used.
Okay.
And there are also mobile news websites and other websites where it shows you what are the most widely used devices. So first thing was doing my outside research and gathering this data about what operating systems and devices. The second thing was, even though I have this outside information, what is more important to me is how many devices access my or our company's website, right? Yeah. We use Google Analytics and other in-house tools which collects data about different browsers people use to access our website, the different devices, different screen sizes, the different operating systems. So we got some data from that. And so we had the two-pronged approach. One is outside information and insight. Usage statistics helps us to narrow down the scope of what we want to do.
Yeah. Now, again, this is something where the challenge technically to get into doing mobile led you to do this kind of research. Had you done that kind of research for normal browser apps before this?
Not really. I've never actually looked into so much data before getting to the mobile project. So I have been on normal desktop websites before, and only thing which mattered for me at that time was different versions of the desktop browser. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we had Microsoft, Internet Explorer, and Chrome, which was most widely used. My sample set was really small. It came down to about maximum 7 or 10 different versions of different browsers, and I was able to manage it. But when you talk about mobile, right, it's plethora. Huge. You have a plethora of devices. You have so many different
devices. A veritable cornucopia.
Exactly. Right.
Exactly. All right, so let me ask you a couple things then about, because you kind of covered the four different things, devices, mm-hmm. you talked a bit about the different browser types, and then those two combinations on top of the operating systems. What was the fourth one?
Have you even talked
about the fourth one yet?
That's okay. The fourth one was tools. So, okay, I know, Mark, you're into performance testing.
I'm a tool geek.
You're a tool geek. And so, say, you have, at least to a certain extent, some standardized tools to help you in testing. Like you have LoadRunner, you have WindRunner, and then
WindRunner died a long time ago. See, that's why
you're the expert, and I'm learning from you, Mark. So that's a reason.
No, I think there was an obituary back in 2006 for Windrunner.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, I don't have that much experience in performance testing. Okay. So I just,
it never supported mobile anyway.
I'm shooting from the hip here, but...
Sorry, we're joking around. But from a mobile tool perspective, a whole different set of tools have been... In fact, how long have you... I didn't even ask. When did you start this mobile project? A couple years ago?
Yeah, about two and a half years ago.
Okay.
Years ago, yeah.
So there were some tools available to use... because I know even just 5 years ago, there was hardly nothing. You had Xcode and you did it yourself if you wrote JavaScript. Like Selenium for mobile wasn't there. Some of the other stuff wasn't there. So what are you using now then?
That's what I was saying, right? Yeah. So we always have standardized tools. Usually we get accustomed to some tools. Like, for example, even for general regression testing, you have QDP and you have other tools out there. But when it came to mobile, the point was, there's no standardized tools out there. So we have about 25 to 30 tools out there, each vendor coming up with different variations of tools and different types of tools. Mm-hmm. But the point is, I was also part of the mobile tools evaluation team in my company.
Cool.
And in my experience, I evaluated 15 tools. And even though they had some good functionality, all the 15 tools which we evaluated were unstable.
Really?
So, for example, if you just record, say, a simple script, say, you type in a username, password, and click on a submit button, right, or login button.
Yeah.
That same script, say I'm using a mobile tool to do that, it did it perfectly. It did it on your mobile device. Wonderful. Everyone is happy. But a week after we run the script, if you run it again, it broke for some reason. And we didn't understand why that was happening. And this was a common pattern which we saw in different tools we evaluated. And also remember, these tools are so freaking expensive. And
they are. So there are some open source ones, but it's you're describing it as if it's sort of the plague of cutting the bleeding edge technology in mobile. Every tool is still sort of struggling to come to some standardization. You see that as the challenge?
Right. The vendors generally do a really good pitch and marketing of their products, but the problem is each tool has its own advantages and disadvantages. And our evaluation and things we have seen, the disadvantages trumps the advantages. So you don't want to spend that amount of money in a tool where it only meets some of your needs, right?
Yeah.
So when you're going to spend a lot of money, you want to make sure at least a majority of your needs get met by the tool. Till now, we haven't seen anything like that.
And more than just a capital investment in buying an automation tool, you're investing time to build a huge suite of tests and do all the cool things that we can do with automation tools. And if stability is the issue, or repeatability or maintainability is the issue, it doesn't matter whether it's a commercial tool or an open source tool, you're investing all of this time to build this, and the maintenance is still really, really high. Raj, honestly, it reminds me of the first days supporting web technologies. And again, if you remember sort of Ajax and JavaScript explosions, where you know, you build a tool and it supports one toolkit. Well, there's 100 other toolkits out there. You don't support any of them. And one day your developer decides to switch toolkits and boom, all your automation doesn't work. Same thing is intensely happening in mobile, if that's what I hear you saying.
Right. And yes, Mark, of course, you know, you've dealt with so many tools. The point is, maintainability is always a factor when you do automation. But the point is, what degree of maintainability can you withstand, right? So, for example, for the mobile scripts, which I was talking about, you record one script, a very simple script, and it doesn't work the next day. So if that is going to be your maintainability factor, then that is something to think about, right?
Yeah.
So
it almost spoils the equation for doing automation, the idea of a repeatable, low-maintenance kind of script. What do you do to adapt with that? Is you use extra framework techniques? Do you try to do some shared function libraries or things? What are you doing to try to ease that pain today?
So we've been looking into other open source stuff. Currently, we are using Selenium WebDriver.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to, there's a team evaluating that, and we are actually using it for automation in a project. So that is one thing which we have been working on currently. But predominantly, we have been doing manual testing on different devices because remember I told you an example where a button which is supposed to be on the left side is not on the Android device and it is on an Apple device,
yeah,
even
totally.
Though it's the same code base.
The mystery, so even the wandering button problem.
The wandering button problem, right? And that is really common when you actually start doing mobile web testing where you see farm elements moving and displaced from its current position.
Yes.
So say you're doing automation, you cannot catch rendering issues like this. So that's why it's really important to do manual testing. And so what we generally do is if it's a button click or if you're going to do input validation, say, for example, username, password, we can try different combinations of password and put that in an automation test. But in complement to that, we do manual testing to make sure the buttons and the text boxes are still remain the same. They don't, you know, get displaced when you view it on devices which are used by majority of users. So those kind of things we do manual testing. So it's a half and half kind of, or I should say, 75-25 ratio to manual to explore. So automation testing.
Yeah. So and like you're saying, you're going to a little bit more flexible open source. Are you then building some utilities or things to kind of try to make this maintenance pain a little easier? I hate to drive home the maintenance pain because it's, you know, it's just the third time around in technology where we went from the Wild West non-standard and then eventually it boils down to being two or three and the automation tools can catch up. But are you doing some things with WebDriver and wrapping it in some custom frameworks and things yet?
Yep, that's we are currently trying that out, and there's another team doing that. So I don't know a lot of information.
Well, you need to get them on the show. Bring them back. Just set them down and have an interview, and yeah, that'd be awesome.
We have been evaluating that, and we have been able to do some automation. So. Probably in the next couple of months or so, we'll get more idea about what works and what doesn't.
Now, I want to shift gears a little bit and get, you know, you've talked a bit about what you went through and kind of the challenges you faced. If you had to do it all over again and go back in time, let's imagine you have a TARDIS like Doctor Who, and you can go back in time and give yourself a few pieces of advice. And you know, aside from the things you've already shared, what, you know, even just the experience, like, you know, go back and say, hello, little Raj from the past. Here's my advice for you, friend. What would you tell him?
It's an interesting question.
Interesting only because you've never actually traveled through time?
I've never actually traveled through time, and I didn't expect this question to come up, but it's pretty interesting, actually. So
that's why I'm on this end of the microphone, Raj. you're the guest, and I'm the host. Yes, just start the sentence by saying, hello, Raj. I'm Raj from the future.
Okay.
Let me give you some advice.
Current Raj, I'm Raj from the future. I'm going to give you some advice. Make sure you don't spend too much time just evaluating tools because I know you did that before and you wasted a lot of time in doing that and finally came to a conclusion that, you know what, everything sucks, so let's go back doing exploratory testing. Keep that in mind and always look at usage statistics beforehand, even before you get into a project to see what devices, what operating system, what mobile browsers are used by your customers and get that into perspective and focus on those things.
Yeah, and what kind of emotional support would you give to old Raj?
No, I'd probably give old Raj a hug and say, don't worry, everyone is struggling with the same thing, the same problems and the same challenges. Things evolve over time and the best we could do is keep abreast with the technology and the things happening both inside and outside the company.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is communication. Talk to people, network with people, and then that at least helps better than not just being in your cube and just doing stuff which you think is interesting, right? So that's the way to go. That's the advice I would give old Raj.
Old Raj, very good. So you're a member of, obviously, the software test professional community. Where, what other communities and forums are you connected to do exactly that, to stay connected with mobile testing and the state of the art? Who are you connected to?
So I have different channels. One thing is I go to different conferences as an attendee and a speaker. Yep. And there I network with different people and always keep in touch with them. And whenever I'm stumped with some problem or something, I just call them up or email them. We exchange ideas and vice versa. Another thing I do is I'm a member of Mobile Testers Meetup in Cleveland.
Hey, very cool.
So that's where you can see developers and testers actually coming in and talking about different challenges, technology, tools, and that's one way to actually learn stuff. And one more thing is, finally, I would say reading. I read a lot about mobile from blogs, articles, and books. So these three channels help me to keep me up to date with the technology and get newer ideas.
Awesome. Are you're going to be presenting at the upcoming STPCon as we described? And do you have a mobile session that you're presenting on?
So I did a mobile session before
in the fall.
I'm shifting gears and doing a presentation on effective communication for testers.
Oh, cool.
But that being said, I'm doing mobile presentations at different conferences. I'm actually speaking at Better Software Conference East Conference in Orlando.
Good on you.
So, I'm going to do a mobile presentation in that conference. So I have two topics, effective communication for testers and the mobile testing going on currently.
That's very, very interesting. So folks want to connect with you. Are you on the social media, the networks, the Facebooks, the Twitters?
Yes. So if you go to my website, it's www.rajsubra. Pretty much the first name and last five letters of my last name.
Rajsubra.com.
So on my website, I have all contact details about how you can reach me via email, Twitter. I'm active on Twitter, Facebook, cool. LinkedIn. Cool. And also, I blog on a regular basis on different topics. And I put sample codes of different tools I evaluated on my website to help other people who are struggling like me. So you'll find a lot of resources on my website on mobile testing.
That's fantastic. Raj, thank you very much for sharing your blog and all of your experience today on the show. Folks can come out and see you at Better Software in Orlando and STPCon in Denver. I think that's after that. And then also, if you're in the Cleveland area, go check out the Mobile Tester Meetup, I think you said?
Yes.
Yeah, marvelous. Raj, thank you very much for joining me, man.
It was a pleasure, Mark. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, very good. Thank you for listening to another episode of STP Radio. As your host, it's my pleasure to bring these intriguing and engaging conversations to assist you in your quest to become a better software tester. Please be aware that this podcast is a production of the Software Test Professionals Organization and is copyrighted and protected via the Creative Commons Share with Attribution Non-Derivative Licensing. For more information, please visit www.softwaretestpro.com. And don't forget, this upcoming November is the STPCon Fall Conference in Denver, Colorado in the USA. Between now and then, there are multiple online training events coming up on performance testing, risk-based testing, testing automation, agile testing, and software test leadership. Visit www.softwaretestpro.com/training to find out more. On behalf of myself and the entire STP community, please share this podcast with your fellow testers and developers and managers. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us on the next episode of STP Radio.